Good morning. Our passage today comes from Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lift up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. This passage is basically three different categories. Verses 1 and 2 are his questions. Verses 3 and 4 are his prayer. And verses 5 and 6 are his declaration. So let's start with his questions. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Now, I know and you know that David did not really think God had forgotten him, but he really felt that way. David is known in the Psalms for his very blunt honesty with God, and he was termed by God to be a man after his heart. The Lord loves it when we tell him how we feel, the same as a good friend or a spouse or somebody we love. You want to be in a relationship with somebody, you need to share your heart. You need to share how you feel. How else can you have a dialogue about it and change and grow? And so David is pouring his heart out to God, and he's in a time of his life where he feels like God has forgotten him. I think that this is a feeling that a lot of people have right now in our world and in our society. We feel like God has left. Where did he go? We aren't even meeting as a church anymore. We're doing the best we can, but it seems like every avenue that used to be a way of life for us has been disrupted or changed in some way. And so we look to God in faith for help. And this virus that started in March, pretty much, as far as how our society responded, things got shut down, people quit being able to work or had to change how they worked. We had to start wearing masks. We've had to social distance. And even then, we don't even know if we're doing it the right way. And we're wondering, will our lives ever return to normal? And so David asks a second question. He says, how long will you hide your face from me? So he's going even deeper with the idea of being forgotten. He's like, not only do I feel forgotten, but I feel like you have hidden your face from me. I don't know that you even know about me anymore. You've forgotten me. And when I look around, I don't really see you like I used to be able to. I used to see evidences of you in life and around, and I don't see that anymore. Things seem kind of dark right now, Lord. That's what he's saying. I mean, it's a hard prayer, but he's saying, Lord, things seem kind of dark, and I don't think you see me, and I don't see you. And then he asks this question. Whoa, it's a really powerful question, insightful. He says, how long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? I don't know about you, but I wasn't born with a manual on the do's and don'ts of life. Yes, we have the Bible and Scripture, and those are awesome and powerful, and they give us direction. But there's so many things that we go through that we need to get as we go. And we need God's help to get it as we go, because there are experiences that are new to us, and there's nothing written on how to handle it. I know that different eras of history have had a pandemic before. 1918 had the 1918 flu. We know that centuries ago there was the bubonic plague. And so, yeah, there have been pandemics before, but this is the first one anyone in all the generations that are alive today can really remember. Maybe some know about the 1918 flu or some other kind of pandemics, but not to this degree, not to the degree that it's shut down society the way it has. And we are desperately seeking to find our path. How do we find a path? And so we're considering answers within ourselves. And David said, I'm tired of considering answers within myself, because I just don't seem to be able to come up with the right ones. I see that happening, you know, in the big arguments that are happening between the politicians and science. You know, science is really just all based on observation and experiment. And some of the things we observe are wrong, and some of the things we experiment and the ways we experiment go the wrong direction. So science, if that's our best shot, we're in trouble. We need something more than science. We need help from the Lord. And this is what David knew, and he's had his whole life based on that, on his faith. And then his prayer is, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. I love the Old Testament because it's full of examples that we can apply spiritually to us in the New Testament. The New Testament says our enemy is not flesh and blood, but princes and principalities of the air. In other words, we're not fighting people. We're fighting more of a mindset and a force that would go against goodness. And that's why we're told in Galatians 6:9, don't grow weary in well-doing. And I think that when we have all the challenges that we're facing today, and we can't meet at church, and we have to social distance, and we're isolated from our families, that it's easy to get discouraged, to give in to discouragement. See, and discouragement is one of the enemies that we have as we try to live a life of faith. We're supposed to, according to Scripture, walk by faith, not by sight. That's 1 Corinthians 10:11. Are we walking by faith right now? Have we slipped? Have we given into discouragement? Because as we keep reading, we're going to see that there's a reason for us not to give in. And that reason begins with the declaration that David has, starting in verse 5. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. See, you hear that? He's saying, I look back, Lord, and I see that I have trusted in your steadfast love. And you have never failed me. Your steadfast love has never failed me. Isaiah 49, verse 15 says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. See, the Lord has engraved your name on the palm of his hand. He will not forget you. And it's very unlikely that a human mother will forget her nursing child. But I suppose that it could, in some strange way, circumstance, happen. But God's saying, humanly, this might happen, but it will never happen with me towards you. See, that's what it meant when David declared, I have trusted in your steadfast love. We can trust in the steadfast love of God. Have you recently declared that to yourself? Sometimes you have to speak to yourself. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes you need to quiet the thoughts that are rattling through your mind And you need to declare in your heart and soul and mind and everything you have your trust in the Lord. And you need to declare it by saying, I have trusted in your steadfast love. Because I look back and I see, yes, it's just like that poem called Footprints. When there's only one set of footprints, it's because you were carrying me. That in life, I know you have been faithful, Lord. And I can say for sure that your love is steadfast. It never fails me. It never leaves me. You have not forgotten me. You have not hidden your face from me. But yes, I do need to walk by faith. And I do need to not grow weary in well-doing. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a woman named Hannah. Hannah's talked about in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And she wasn't able to have children for a long, long time. And in those days, they had more than one wife. And there was another wife of her husband who had children. And she would taunt Hannah every year. Every year when they would go up to the temple to offer sacrifice, this woman would taunt Hannah, and Hannah's heart would break, and she would pour out her heart to God every year, year after year, it says. But one day, God answered her prayer, and she had a son, and his name was Samuel. He became a great prophet of Israel. You see, God is with you, even though it feels like you're in a situation that's never going to end. This brings us to David's second declaration. He says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. You see, when he says, I have trusted in your steadfast love, he's looking back. But when he says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation, he's making a declaration of faith. He's saying, I don't see the end of this dark tunnel I'm in, but I know that there will be a day where I will rejoice, where I shall rejoice in your salvation, in your deliverance, in your blessing and kindness and goodness and all of the things that word salvation implies and means, because that word salvation means wholeness, his wholeness. It's both afterlife and the current life. And then he says in verse 5, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And that's something he's going to do right now. So he says, you know, something for the past, and that is, I have trusted you. So that's the past. My heart shall rejoice. That's the future. But right now, in this present moment, I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. The Lord is with you in this situation. That is enough to sing to him about. That's all the bountifulness you need, is to know that he is with you. Whether you feel it or not, whether you see it or not, you have the promise that he is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's right here, right now, in this moment with you. And there's nothing more powerful than entering into a place of praise and worship and joy in the Lord. You may not feel a lot of joy about the circumstance, but you can have joy in the Lord. And it could be that David didn't always feel like having joy in the Lord, but isn't it interesting the mood that he's in when he's declaring he will have joy in the Lord? He will sing to the Lord because of how the Lord has dealt with him in such a bountiful way. I want to encourage you not to compare yourself with anyone else, but just look at your own life and look at the things that you're grateful for, that the Lord has given you, and how he's dealt with you bountifully. And if nothing else, rejoice in the fact that you have your faith, because your faith is the most valuable thing you have in this time. You have God walking with you, working with you, partnering with you as you face every moment, day by day. And he promises he has not forgotten you, no matter how it feels. And you have this faith that has come to you through Jesus. and his forgiveness and his grace. And in this dark world, you are a light. Corrie Ten Boom says, you're the only Bible that non-Christians have to read. And people will respond to the light in many different ways. Sometimes they aren't real nice to the light. But don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Know that you will someday, you shall rejoice in your salvation. So don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep letting the Lord know how you feel. Keep praying and keep declaring your faith. God bless you. I hope this is an encouragement to you.